everyone. How are you all doing? Nice to see you. Visiting family on Father's Day. Great to have you with us. Please do feel at home. This week, this very brave raccoon climbed that high-level building in Minnesota, and apparently thousands of Americans watched hour after hour as it scaled the building. And I thought, wouldn't that be a great way to start off my Father's Day talk, is watching something completely silly and had nothing to do with my talk this morning. But let's appreciate things in life which we may never have considered ever before in my life, a raccoon climbing a building. Apparently it was a very good effort, so well done to him. Appreciate raccoons in life, okay? Now then, moving on to something which I was going to talk about. And that basically is three love stories on Father's Day, okay? Now, the first love story is also another thing that I saw on the BBC website, and it really captured my attention, and it was this. It's a remarkable love story, and it involves a Chinese man and a Chinese woman. And in recent years, I don't know if you've seen the rise of the photo bomb. Now, for those who don't know what a photo bomb is, it's when like two or three people are like in a picture or in a photograph, and some childish person in the background like puts their face in this lovely photograph, okay? Now, moving on, I've got a typical example here for you. Now, this was at Beth and Sean's wedding, and I was standing in a pothole that day, and Chloe and I had a photograph together. And then Simon Brown, who, as we know, when we see the serious side of him, and he's, you know, brilliant on media, and he's very organized, and he's a fantastic guy in general, but he's unbelievably childish, and he is mischievous, okay? So that is Simon Brown. But the rise of the photo bomb. Now, sometimes people do it on purpose, sometimes people do it on accident. And this particular story really, I thought, this is amazing. So what happened is in the year 2000, a gentleman called Mr. Yi, I may get some pronunciations wrong here, he photobombed his wife's picture, all right? But what was amazing, it was 11 years before they actually even met. So one day, he's cleaning the room of his mother-in-law's house, and he finds an old photo of his wife. And he recognizes the boy in the blue T-shirt. And he goes home and he digs out an old holiday photograph. And it turns out it's him in front of this same sculpture. And this sculpture's in the May 4th Square in Qingdao in China. So the little circled man there, that's him at 17 years. And the woman in front is the lady that he gets to meet for the first time 11 years later and ends up marrying. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Fantastic. I don't know if anyone can have a look at this monitor here because it's not on. Is there any chance of putting it on? But don't worry if you can't. Anyway, a year later, they meet in 2011. And in 2012, they get married. And in an interview with Mr. Yi, he says this, that he wanted to visit the May 4th Square once again when their twin daughters get older. Isn't that a fantastic story? So the two individuals living their lives, building a history, and on a journey, and their paths crossing without even knowing what the future will bring. There's the getting together, the falling in love, the getting married, and then, of course, the twin daughters as well. Don't worry, Math. And then wanted to take the children to the spot where this amazing event took place. And for every child born, there is a special story. There's the natural physical side, which we won't get into today. And then there's the spiritual side of the story where, you know, people live their lives and, you know, somehow they get together. And then there's this, you know, birthing of a child. And it is a fantastic story. And of course, in the Bible, we recognize and realize and find out that it's not just, you know, human beings' great idea to have children, but our Father God in heaven created children, created people in his image. In Genesis, it says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us, you know, the Holy Trinity. And God wanted to do something amazing, even more than what he was already doing in the heart of God, in the love of God. He wanted to create humankind. And henceforth, he creates humans. And in Psalms 139 says this, you made all You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. And in Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. So we see a sense of partnership in life here. We recognize God's input into human beings, into us, into you and me. And also the advice and the encouragement that when we are human beings, that we encourage and we edify and build up the younger generations, our children, and help them, you know, walk in the ways of God to enjoy life and to grow into their full potential. There's this kind of partnership with God. And today on Father's Day, like as a man and as a father, we have this privilege and responsibility to rise and bring children and to help them in their lives. And through faith and knowledge of God, we know that we have access to God's resources to help us. So we're not left on our own. We know that because God made us and knows how we operate and how we are wired and how we are shaped, we have every resource available in God to know children, to help children, to grow children in a great way. And even if we're a person with no faith or knowledge of God today, we still have that same privilege, we still have that same responsibility, and we still have that same calling to raise and to bring up children. And of course, you know, parenting or any form of guardianship in a child's life is a very special role. Like a mum or a dad or a guardian, a grandparent, a stepmum, a stepdad, it's a very important role to take upon us, and even like for teachers or for, you know, in organizations where we're encouraging the younger generations, it is a real privilege and an honor, and it is good to honor God when we approach these things in life. Now, I have many years experience of being a son, many years experience in that. I have less experience of being a dad, but I have been one for 19 years. But I do rely on God for my every kind of ability as a parent, be it, you know, it's never perfect, and we recognize in life that all of us, because we're not perfect, we can't always do things perfectly, but it's always good to give it our best shot in God. So bringing fatherhood care into a child's life is a real blessing. Now, I've seen very close-to-home examples of this in life. Now, my grandfather, not my father, but my father's father, he was adopted at the age of 3. So I could see, like, my grandfather's a very loving, kind man, very generous, full of fun. But, you know, his life could have been so different. But at the age of 3, when his parents weren't around, he was adopted at the age of 3. 3 days, actually, not 3 years. And Sian, of course, my wife, who got adopted by her dad when she was 7, Sian had the benefits of a home where there was a secure, loving dad who helped shape and form her future in such a great way, which, you know, we're very appreciative of. And in recent times, my youngest brother, Alex, has got married to a lady from Llandeilo, which is a great place to be, and he has now 2 stepsons, and you see the dynamics now of, you know, being a carer for these 2 young lads. So close to home, I've seen the benefits when someone steps in to a situation and helps bring up a child, and it is a marvelous thing, and it is a great thing to do before God. So what benefits can we give our children? I want to encourage us this morning with 3 different areas where we can bless our children. And I don't know if you remember, during last week's worship time, I kind of brought like this little picture that God had given me last week about a robe robing us, like God's love, just like the prodigal son's father, a call for a robe to be put around his son's shoulders. Well, I want to continue in that theme this morning and look at that story of the prodigal son and the story of the father. And of course, we know it. I'll read the verses in a moment. But just summarizing, the son goes off the rails. He's asked for his inheritance. He squanders it all through wild living. It turns out he becomes a destitute and a broken man. And he goes back to his father full of regret and remorse. And the kind of, you know, how is he welcomed back to the father? Well, the father's love is amazing. His forgiveness is amazing. And he accepts back his son. So I want to briefly encourage us this morning with the response of a loving father, how we like look to God for his love, but also how do we love our children, whether it's our own natural children or whether it's children we're responsible for, especially in church life. You know, we have like spiritual connections and spiritual family, and we want to bring up our children well. So we've heard the love story of the Chinese couple, and the other two love stories are God the Father's love for us and how we can love our children. Those are the other two love stories this morning. Okay, so let me go through the verses for us this morning, and then we'll crack on with some little points then. Okay, ready for action? Here we go. So Jesus told him this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide up his wealth between the sons. And a few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money while living. About the time his money ran out, there was a great famine that swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him any. So when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him come in. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. And maybe we've heard that story many times, or maybe it's the first time we've heard it, but there's some important information that we can consider this morning. There's a two-way slant to the story. There's God's loving response to all who turn to him, and also there's our response to in the continued love and acceptance of our kids. So if I can consider 3 points this morning very quickly to go through and to encourage us, there's a company called RRS, okay? And it's not rapid response solutions or really right stuff or resource recycling systems. But this company is a company that provides camera equipment for capturing the moment, but also a great way for helping us remember my points this morning. And that is the dad's response and the significance of the robe, the ring, and the sandals, or shoes if you prefer, okay? RRS. I like to, you know, check out a few of the first letters just to help us remember them tomorrow, because we probably forget by Tuesday. Okay, so first of all, the dad shouts out, Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And using the father's response to his returning and humble son, we see that he runs to his son. He sees him in the distance and he runs to him. And it's not like the norm for an old man of this culture and generation to run. It's not the norm. And here there's an expression of quick, kind, forgiving, loving father who rushed to accept his son. And if there's one thing we can consider this morning, God rushes to love us in our life and in our experience. And as people, we can learn to have a response like God, that we can rush to love to people, we can rush to put the arm of love and forgiveness out, and we can be quick to be forgiving and kind to others. So this is God's love to us, and a great way to demonstrate love to our children. Okay, so the first point then, the father called for the finest robe in the house to be put on him. And by having the best robe placed on him, the father was communicating a few things. First of all, he was communicating to the observer and those watching, this is my son who is being restored to the family. He's being restored to the family. So to those watching who may have known a bit of the history, who may have known a bit of the story and how the son has gone about his life, they now see a loving father who's restoring his son. His position of being a son, of sonship, was being affirmed. There was ownership, there was love, there was compassion, and an immediate demonstration of complete approval. Now, in our walk of life, being approved, being loved, being accepted is such a key thing in life. This is, you know, we're always looking for this in life as people. It is something that makes us tick, to be loved, to be affirmed. And when we know God, it is very helpful that, you know, we have a loving Father and we benefit from that. But when we live in a world that the high percentages, people don't know God's love, it is kind of really good for us as people then to express God's love in our going about our life, in our workplaces, in our universities, in our homes and in our neighborhoods, because that demonstrates something of God's love in our lives and in what God wants to communicate to the world. So we know his mercy, his protection, and his love. And this robe was likely to be the father's. So it was also like a demonstration of his inheritance, of what belonged to him. He wanted to cloak his son in as well. Even he'd messed up, but that didn't matter. He saw that his son was distraught and in a place of turning back and recognizing his mistakes. But the dad wanted to embrace him, to let him know he's part of the family. And more than that, he was demonstrating that, you know, he was more than just part of the family. The dad was still giving him all that he had, even by putting the robe around him. It was a big statement to make. He was saying, you belong, you are loved, I give you all I have. And like power in the family name as well. As Christians, we have power in the name of Jesus. We are inspired and helped through the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit we have a relationship with, who lives in and through us and helps us each day. So there's some other themes in the Bible that talks about the importance of clothing. There's the story in Genesis 27 where, Rebecca gives Jacob Esau's clothes. And of course, there was this switch of the younger son having like the authority now and the inheritance and the anointing, because Esau wasn't interested and Jacob wanted the blessing of God in his life. And we read that story. Then we, of course, we have Jacob, and we did our story, our series on Joseph a few months ago. And of course, Jacob chose an ornate coat to give to his son Joseph, who he loved very much. So we see like a robe in a cloak, in a clothing, is like very symbolic of a father's love and an anointing of God, and a belonging to something, you know, bigger than ourselves. So for the prodigal son, you know, he was being brought into the family fold, back, reassured, reconnected, and given, you know, authority and belonging in his life. And for us as individuals, through faith in Jesus, sometimes, you know, we can feel like robbed of sonship. But when God steps into our lives, we recognize that we're adopted into his family, that we belong to God's family. We become the body of Christ. And that is an amazing way of being reconnected to God. Because at one time we didn't know God, and then we get to this amazing place where we do know God. And there's a real encouraging kind of part of that that affects our lives. So as parents, we can express a quick, kind, forgiving love, that we can clothe our children with security, belonging in our families. And of course, that is like a similar slant in church as well, where children find belonging, encouragement in their faith lives and belonging to the body of Christ. So that's the robe. Next, we're going to have a look at the ring that was called to be put on the son's finger. And long ago, to put a ring on the finger was a sign of great affection, but also a symbol of being placed in an office of authority as well. And today, in today's generation, it may be a way of getting engaged, putting a ring on a finger, of decoration, of a gift. We buy, rings for a gift, a wedding vow. These are different ways how in today's culture we use a ring, and specifically in the culture of the day of this story, we see that this is a great symbolic moment by the father calling for a ring to be put on the son's finger. Okay, so it's getting the resources to get the job done. So we see a few little examples in the Bible again. We see the story of Pharaoh, who removed his signet ring and put it on Joseph's hand, installing him into office in Egypt. And then in the book of Esther as well, we see the king took off his ring, the royal signet by which the decrees of government were signed, and gave it to Mordecai. So we see the important kind of symbolic elements there. And the ring showed Pharaoh's affection for Joseph and the king's affection for Mordecai, transferring to them all power and all authority necessary for the promotions they received, one as a governor and one as a prime minister. So when we come to like resourcing our children in this generation, let's not be like stingy with what we have as people. Let's resource our children. Let's build them up in their faith lives. Let's educate. Let's help them socially interact within their communities. Let's give all that God has for us and let's pass it on. Let's pass the stuff in and through us into the younger generations, which is very important, so that we're not just, we don't just feel like comfortable where we're at, maybe as parents or as guardians, but that we can continually invest in into our kids as well. Recently, one of my boys is he's doing a carpentry apprenticeship and he needed some tools for the job. And with a big gulp, managed to buy him some tools ready, which will last him for 20-odd years if he looks after them. Isn't it? If you look after your tools, they last a long time, don't they, everyone? Yes? Yes, they do, don't they? But it's an investment for the future because he's very gifted and talented in the carpentry skills and many other skills. So to be able to bless our children for their futures, to resource them now for their futures, is very important. There's this continuation of love, growing our kids for now and for the future. So even in the prodigal son story, putting the ring on the finger and giving them authority, you know, to go out and do something, we kind of like in our walk in God, we're given authority to go and do amazing things which God wants us to go and do in his authority and in his power. And likewise, we can encourage our kids spiritually to get involved in their faith journeys and in their practical lives, to go out full of faith and to go out and serve our neighborhoods and our communities and our worlds and our schools and everything else, to really bring blessing and to make a difference. So it's good to invest in our children, to develop them. And it comes at a cost, but it's always worth it. It's a continuation as well of who we are as people. Because there's nothing better, is there? I think that, you know, we can see a little bit of something in our children, whether they're our own natural children or they're children who we have taught at some stage of life, or we've taken them on football training, or we've showed them how to play a card game or do something else. So they go out and they continue with that, and they teach others and help others as well. And I think that is an amazing thing. And we will recognize in our own life certain skills and certain giftings that God has given us. And it is good for us to use those things and to go out and serve others. But it's such a great thing as well to be able to pass those skills and tools on to a younger generation, to see them flourish and develop and to grow up and mature. So be encouraged that we can be people who can do that in every walk of life. Okay, and finally, the last point, the father also called to put sandals on his feet, or we could call them shoes, because, you know, I know there's not a lot of sandal wearers amongst us here. I know there is a few. There are flip-flop wearers as well. Daps, trainers, there's various words we could use, but for today's effort, we'll use shoes, okay? So the son had come home with no shoes on, and in like the Bible and in those times, it was like a sign of a couple of things. Could be a sign of mourning, or a sign of shame, or a sign of poverty and destitution. And ancient biblical times, like servants and slaves went around barefoot. So therefore, the father once again was showing the son was to be not treated as a servant, but as a son with all the entitlements that comes with the family. So it says in Galatians this, "So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir." So there's a slant to this kind of point here, that we really are reminded that we're God's children. And this is very, very powerful when we understand that, when we recognize the family that we belong to, when we recognize who our father is. It is very, very important. that we're called heirs, that our inheritance is given directly from God for today and for our tomorrows as well. And here the prodigal son's father was saying, put sandals on his feet. This boy is not a servant. He's not to be a slave. He is my son, and he is being restored. And of course, forgiveness would be empty without the restoration of privileges that belong to the family name, previously forfeited by sin. And of course, in life, and we're doing the mission to Wales, we're reminding people that God loves them and God has a plan for their lives. And maybe if there's areas in their life where they not feel fulfilled, or there's no purpose, or there's no connection with the holy God who created them, at least we're given an opportunity to say some truth about the heart of God. Even if someone says, no, I'm not interested, or no, thank you, or that's interesting, it is still a seed sown. It is a net cast, and it is something that is amazing. And we have the authority in God, we have the love and compassion in God to go out and make a difference in our world. So, as the parable is getting at, turning away from sin and placing our faith in Jesus, we find a loving and caring eternal Father who gives forgiveness freely, a gift of grace. So it's good to, when we receive that free gift, to be able to give it out just as swiftly and express, you know, the love of God in our walk. So the best robe demonstrated our complete approval, a ring on the finger, riches in Christ, and authority in his name. But this sandals on the feet is affirming sonship, childship, daughtership, whatever, and the benefits of belonging to God. His loving kindness, his tender mercies, and every good thing. And there's a chap who created Tom's Shoes. Now, have you heard of Tom's Shoes before? Now, this guy, Blake, he visited Argentina in 2002 while he was competing in a race. He went back there 4 years later and recognized the local team were wearing these special kind of shoes, okay? They're like a summer shoe, like a canvasy shoe with a very simple sole on it. And it was like a canvas slip-on shoe. And he began wearing it himself, and then he kind of developed this business strategy of creating and making these shoes in America. But also then, when people bought a pair of shoes, he was going to use that money then to buy a pair of shoes for a child who didn't have any shoes from a developing country, or, you know, a poorer country. And he had this inspiration. And in his conversations, this guy Blake, he spoke with Bill Gates. And Bill Gates encouraged him by saying that the lack of shoes was a major contributor to diseases in children. So this guy now had a business strategy, something embedded in his mind. He actually went out to do something, and he blessed many, many, many thousands of people through this great idea, and, you know, really protecting people, protecting children by wearing a simple pair of shoes. And that can make all the difference in life when we give and equip and resource others with something that protects them, that gives them health, and that teaches them an important thing. Now, similarly, with my children growing up, like the need for specialist shoes was like virtually every day. There was the ballet shoes, there was the AstroTurf shoes, there was the football boots, there was the safety workwear, there was the shoes when we go to a wedding, there was the... It goes on and on and on. But it seemed to symbolize and demonstrate something important when you buy a pair of shoes for someone. It is like this helps them walk well. It helps them get to the places they need to get with safety and protection to be able to get into the places where they're going to make a difference. So in life, can we help our kids to walk well in life? Can we provide, you know, that safe base, that safe home, that safe church, that safe classroom, the security, the education? Can we create a place where our children are inspired and blessed and secured and motivated and resourced to go out and do great things for God? In Colossians 2:6 says this, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. In 1 John, we're encouraged to walk in the way Jesus walked. And if we can take something away today from Father's Day and understand a few things, is to walk in the ways of Christ and to help our children walk in those ways as well. Let's encourage them, let's inspire them, let's bless them, and let's help them journey on. And as a church, we kind of have grasped the want to help our younger generation to blossom and grow, isn't it? And it is good to invest in that and to help them. So that's the end of the talk for this morning. So if I pray to close and I hand back to Matthew. Yes, Lord, we thank you today, Lord, for your love and for your care over our lives. And we continue to ask for your inspiration, Lord. Continue to be challenged, Lord, and our eyes opened in you. And I pray again, Lord, that you would equip us, Lord, with the right tools for the job, that you would help us to inspire others, Lord. Help us, Lord, to continue in a way of seeing the world through your eyes as well. We thank you for these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.